We're going to be in Acts today, the sixth chapter or seventh chapter as well. But we're going to really have a summary today because we go through from Genesis, the end of Genesis 11, all the way into Kings and Chronicles. And so be prepared. Hope you brought your lunch. And so let's begin reading here. And we're going to back up just a little bit because I'm going to make some references to these verses of Scripture. And in verse 8 of Acts chapter 6, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Syrians and the Alexandrians and them of Sicily and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then the suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came unto him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And Stephen begins, "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham." And I'm going to end the reading right there, and we're going to be covering much of chapter 7 today. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come into your house and come together and have this fellowship together. Speak to our hearts, Father. We love your precious word. And we want to come humbly before you that you will rightly divide the word. And we ask that your spirit will come and he will be ever so present that everyone will feel your presence, know your presence, and know that we need to be born again. We need to have salvation because you have died on the cross for us. You have saved us. But we need to receive that free gift of salvation. And if we don't, Father, the life that we have here will be a wonderful life in relationship to eternity if we die without Jesus. But to have Jesus in this life makes it much greater, much more important, much more wonderful, much more joyous. And then, again, we get to spend eternity with you. Father, thank you for your precious gift of salvation, and thank you for the joy you give us each and every day. Now speak to all of our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There was a problem with the leadership of the church of that day, of the temple, of the synagogue, and we have a list of members that were standing against Stephen. We've just learned in the beginning of this sixth chapter that Stephen was just named as one of the deacons, and so he was not one of the apostles, he was one of the deacons. And yet God chose him to be in service, and the reason was is because Stephen surrendered his life unto the Lord, and the Lord was able to use Stephen. And that's the reason we have those precious words in verse 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." And so we have that, and then we look and we see, again, those that were against him. We look at verse 10, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." And when we take our time and with the joy and the peace and the filling of the Spirit of God, that when we speak His Word, that it cannot be turned away. You'll have a decision to make. And I say it can't be turned away. It cannot be resisted. That doesn't mean that you can't say no to Jesus. Because you see, you have a will. And we find that these men did say no to Jesus. And they probably, much of these, were destroyed and slaughtered when the temple was destroyed in all of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. I think many of these were still there because this is only, less than 40 years away. Some of them may have been alive at that time. Their claim was a false claim. You have made blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. And then they stand before him, and they have brought in false witnesses, it says in verse 13. They brought the lies against Stephen. They couldn't stand it. They couldn't bring any true proofs against Stephen. And so they had to find folks to lie for him, and they did. They found folks that come and spread these lies. And we find, however, that even the lies that were told to Stephen, that Stephen still stood in boldness, because you look at that 15th verse and saw his face as it has been the face of an angel. And so the only other example we have similar to that is Moses as he came down off the mount, that they couldn't look upon him as he had listened and been with the Lord. That's in Exodus 34, verses 29 and 30. We know that the same Spirit that filled the heart and the life of Moses also filled the heart and the life of Stephen. But we also find that the people's minds were closed. They were closed. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because this can happen, and it does happen, happens today. People refuse to listen to the Word of God, refuse to respond to the call of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It's an opportunity. It's a decision that folks make to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. You could see yesterday at the funeral service, as you would look out, and as I had the opportunity to lead the song service, you look out and you could see the countenance of folks. Some were of joy, and you could see the smile and the joy in their heart. And others, you could see almost a burning of judgment. And I'm listening, but I don't like it. And that's so sad to hear the words preached and hymns sung. But their minds were closed. We have another place here that's a little longer. It's a few verses. We're going to go look back at Luke. And I just thought about whether we was going to read this, but we are. It's a very familiar one to you. But it's a decision that was made. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. And I'm going to read the whole story here, because when it comes to the end of it concerning this man's brothers, and that's the situation that many are in today. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desired to feed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, plural, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, so we have proof that this rich man was a Jew. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. You see, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if this rich man didn't bring all of his offerings and sacrifices unto the temple, just as he was supposed to. But he missed the Lord Jesus. Verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they've had Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. As we said earlier, the people's minds are closed. Even someone being raised from the dead would not reach his brothers. But I want you to notice what this rich man desired. He was in hell. He did not say, I'm going to have a lot of good friends down here with me and we're going to have a good time. What he said, please keep my brothers from coming here. Please. And Abraham said, you've had the word. You had the word. They have the word. And you're rejecting it. They're not going to believe anybody, even if there's someone raised from the dead. So you see, as we look at these verses of Scripture, there was lies told, and the leaders needed some support. And so not only did they tell the lies, but then they stirred up the people. And what was the best way to stir up the people? It was to tell them that this Jesus of Nazareth is going to tear this temple down. He's going to tear this city apart. Well, they couldn't imagine. They couldn't imagine being without the temple. He could have said most anything else that would not have stirred the people up as much as thinking that their temple is going to be gone. And then he adds here, you know, and change the customs of Moses. Well, in Old Testament times, when they were in captivity, they knew that they had no temple. They had no place to worship. That was all gone. Everything that Moses, they had to wait till they could get back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, to get back into their religion. But the sad thing is, it's all it was a religion. It's not a relationship that we need. We need a relationship with our Lord Jesus. Stephen was preaching this precious gospel to these folks, telling them about the Lord Jesus, telling them that now, you know, we no longer have to worship in that temple, but we worship our God in spirit, and we are saved and born again. That's the message that he was giving. Well, these lies that were built up. And that's the reason that the common people, I believe, turned against Stephen, because it kind of shocked them a little bit to think, our temple's going to be gone? Most of them had not learned yet of the Lord Jesus and that there was no need for the temple. There was no need to bring these offerings and sacrifices because the perfect sacrifice had died on the cross, and that was the Lord Jesus. We no longer needed to bring the doves and the bullocks and the sheep, and we didn't need to do that anymore because Jesus had finished all that. We don't need this building, this temple, any longer. But the people were kind of behind. They weren't prepared for that problem. To understand that the temple was everything, and it was unthinkable for them not to have the temple. In Mark 13, 1 and 2, let's turn to that verse of Scripture, because this is something that Stephen probably referred to. Mark 13. It's so sad that out of all the Scriptures, and especially the New Testament, I think the old Gospel of Mark is probably the least read, and I don't know why. It's just a beautiful book, beautiful study. Mark 13, verses 1 and 2. Mark 13. And as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are these. He was amazed by the magnificence of the buildings. If you ever... You know, I do. I look at buildings and their structure and their architecture, and it's really something to look at buildings. And they were taken by these buildings. But Jesus said, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Well, these words were heard and these words were repeated. And to say that you're going to destroy our temple. Now, let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Once again, the Lord Jesus is giving them directions. And he says in verse 23 of chapter 4 of the Gospel of John, The hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such things to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I believe these are things that Stephen was trying to teach these folks. You need to come by faith to Jesus. This temple is no longer of such great importance. And so... They, as listening to these words, upset them. And we find that the countenance did not change in any way. And so Stephen, this deacon, began to tell all these religious folks, these folks that had been to school, he was going to instruct them how this Moses that you say we are no longer to do the customs of Moses. And number one, I want you to catch that word customs there because it was most of the customs of the day. It was not the teaching of Moses in many cases. It was the custom of the day. You know, why do we do certain things in a church service? It's the custom, you know. And, oh, you break that tradition and the roof's going to fall down. Well, they were afraid of that because the absence of the temple would also be the absence of all the customs that they had gotten used to doing. And so they were fearful of that, got the people to do it. Now, as I've already said, as we begin the 7th chapter, we go from the end of the 11th chapter of Genesis. We go all the way into Kings and Chronicles. And so in this chapter, and I'm going to begin reading, but first of all, I'm going to give you a little example. And if you want to make a note next to your scripture, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. But the second verse is chapter 11 of Genesis. The fourth verse is chapter 12 of Genesis. The fifth verse is chapter 15 of Genesis. The sixth verse is Exodus 14, and then the last half of the sixth verse is actually Exodus 12. Verse 8 is Exodus 17. Verse 9 is Exodus 37. Verse 10 is Exodus 39. Verse 11 is Exodus 41. Verse 12 is Exodus 42. Verse 13 is Exodus 45. Verse 14 is Exodus 46. And then we come over to the, those are all Genesis. I misled you. One was Exodus 12 and 14 in the sixth verse. The rest of those are all Genesis down through chapter 46 in verse 14. Then in verse 17, we start with Exodus 2. And then in the last half of 17 is Exodus 1. Verse 21 is Exodus 2, 22 is Exodus 2, 25 is Exodus 2, 27 is Exodus 2, 28 chapter 2 of Exodus, and then verse 30 is Exodus 3. Exodus 3 and 32, Exodus 3, 33, Exodus 3, 34. Then Deuteronomy 18 is popped in there in the 37th verse, and that's a tremendous prophecy concerning Moses and, of course, Jesus. And then Psalms in verse 39, chapter 32 of verse 40 of Exodus. Exodus 32 is verse 41. Amos 5, verse 42. And so you get the understanding. We're going all the way jumping over to verse 48, and that's 1 Kings chapter 8. Now, what a survey. Stephen begins, and he's going to tell these spiritual leaders, these religious leaders, the God that they know about. Now, let me begin reading, and we're just going to read for a little bit, and then we'll end, and then we'll begin next week and read the rest of this. But knowing where all this came from, and Stephen, how he spoke so perfectly. And a couple of weeks ago, I made mention that when we do this survey, how many of us could stand up and begin with Abraham, list where he's coming from, where he goes to, what happens to him, when he goes to Egypt, when they have the drought, he ends up back in Egypt 400 years, and it goes on and on and on, and he takes them all away, and where it ends is with Solomon in the temple. He went all the way from Abraham to Solomon. That's what Stephen told these folks. Now, what's that have to do with Jesus tearing the temple down? It has everything to do with Jesus tearing the temple down. So let's begin. Men and brethren, verse 2, men and brethren and fathers, hearken, listen. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, that's another word for Haran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and come unto the land which I will show unto thee. I've read this enough time that I want to say, and from thy father's house, because that's what it tells us in Genesis. But here, Stephen just says, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and come unto a land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans. He was from Ur of Chaldees and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him unto this land wherein ye now dwell. They're in the land of Canaan. And so he's telling him, Stephen is just telling this wonderful story. You know, Abraham, he left Ur of Chaldees. He come up to Haran. When Haran's dad died, why then God allowed him to go on, move on, and come to the land of which you dwell, this promised land. But let's see what else he has to say here. Verse 5, and he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. Stephen just had this as clear as could be. God told Abraham, I'm going to give you this land, And he brought him out of Ur of Chaldees through Haran down into the promised land, down to the land of Canaan. And he's sitting in the land of Canaan, but you realize that all the time that Abraham lived in Canaan, he never possessed any land. The only land he owned was what he bought for his bride Sarah's burial ground. That's the only thing that Abraham could put his name on. And yet the promise, and that's what Stephen's building up here, the promise was given to Abraham that he would dwell and possess this land. And yet to dwell and possess this land, Abraham had no children. So to have a promise, I'm going to give this to you, and to live all your life and die not having that promise fulfilled, and living to be 100 years old before there was even any seed, before Isaac was born. And so, how did Abraham walk? He walked by faith. And that's what Stephen is trying to build with these folks. You need to look to the Word of God, because the Word of God tells us about a promise. And that promise is a Savior. And we get to that as he continues through this story. But you see, this is all things that these people totally understood. And I think they were amazed at Stephen's voice, and that Stephen wasn't missing one little part of history as he told them this story. Verse 6, God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. Now that's kind of popped in between Genesis 15 and Genesis 17, and this is Exodus 12 and 14. But it's like you remember they were in bondage. You remember they went to Egypt, and they were slaves in Egypt. And then Stephen jumps back to the story. He comes back once again, and he comes to verse 7. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge. God said, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And now verse 8. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Now, we've jumped from chapter 17 of Genesis to chapter 37 of Genesis. The patriarchs moved with envy and sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his affliction, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. We've moved now to chapter 39 of the book of Genesis. Now, there came a drought over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, great affliction. Our fathers found no substance, as chapter 41 of Genesis. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. Now remember who's telling the story here. Stephen's telling the story. Sent our fathers. In other words, the sons of Jacob is who he sent down to Egypt. Chapter 45 of Genesis is the 13th verse. At the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known to Pharaoh. Chapter 46 of Genesis, verse 14. Then sent Joseph and came, called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers. And they carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Now we've moved to Exodus chapter 1 and chapter 2. And so He moves smoothly through the Word of God. And all the time, everyone that he's speaking to know that this is the truth. They know that this is the truth. And then, as we remember, as we have studied these precious books, in verse 18, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. That was the change in time. Verse 19, and dwelt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our father, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. In which time Moses was born, was exceedingly fair. We're getting to that one that they're going to destroy the customs of, aren't they? We're finally getting to Moses. You know, he said all this to get to Moses. He is exceedingly fair and nourished up to his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Moses learned in all the wisdom of Egypt, was mighty in the word and in words and deed. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Now we're still in Exodus chapter 2. Verse 24. Seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sir, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he did his neighbor wrong, thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst kill the Egyptian? You see, the Israelites didn't understand. They didn't understand that Moses was one of them. And he was going to help them. And instead of that, why, they said, You're going to kill me just like you killed that Egyptian? Now see, all this beautiful story was given. And to this point, all that were listening were in complete agreement. Now, there's no good place to stop, and so we're going to stop here. And you're just going to have to come to get the rest of the story next week as we continue. Because we're to Exodus chapter 2, and we started at Genesis chapter 11. And so we've got all the way through. And this Stephen, this deacon, he just speaks with such power. There's 1,000 years pass from the time that he begins with Abraham and he ends with Solomon's temple. 1,000 years have passed. And so we find, and it just continues to build. All are listening to this point. How about you? Is all listening and carefully as we tell this wonderful story? And you think, well, we should have just read this instead of the 3.5 years of study that we had in Exodus and Genesis. We could have just maybe done it in a couple weeks. What a beautiful message. And so we will begin here with verse 28 and start from there next week. Please, you know, read these verses of Scripture and understand. And we're going to just take a quick peek over here. In verse 51 of chapter 7, he gets down to business. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. And then we move over, and when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Now that's wonderful, that the Spirit of God cut to the heart. But the problem was their response. They gnashed on him with their teeth. They rejected the word. As we said at the beginning, the people's minds were closed. I hope none of your minds are closed to the word of God. I enjoy reading that verse. Of course, you know the love that we have for the book of Genesis and to go through. But this week, go in your mind and think, can I tell the story? Can I tell that wonderful story from Abraham all the way to Solomon? Can we do that? We're going to continue this next week, but please, that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior today. And don't be closed-minded, because closed-minded is going to be just like that rich man. And you're going to suffer and suffer much if you don't know the Lord Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and read these verses of Scripture. It's not often that we just kind of slowly take our time and read through your precious Word. It's more like a Sunday night or a Wednesday night Bible study. But to hear those precious words, it's your words that gives us the conviction in our heart that draws us closer to you. It's the one that stabs us in the heart that says that we are sinners and lost and we need a Savior. And then the same precious sweet Spirit, as He convicts us of our sin, He also shows us the path to salvation and brings us right to Jesus. Please today that no one miss that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.